VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk. We trust you had a blessed Christmas. And folks, the issues just continue one after another as we continue now this week here on Crosstalk. Our United States Constitution has for nearly 240 years stood the test of time. I mean, longer than any other constitution on the face of the earth. And yet in the so-called name of democracy, there are those who are trying to rid our system of government that we have known it since our very beginning. We're going to delve into the topic today, the dark side of democracy. And with us, we welcome Robert Knight. Bob is a former Los Angeles Times news editor, writer, and was a media fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. He is a regular weekly columnist for the Washington Times, townhall.com, onenewsnow.com, and others. He has held senior positions in a number of pro-family organizations. He has co-authored three books, written some 10 others, like The Coming Communist Wave, What Happens If the Left Captures All Three Branches of Government, and Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote. Bob, so good to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Always good to be on with you, Jim.
You know, we are often described as you know, you listen to the Nancy Pelosi's and Chuck Schumer, you know, this thing, you know, we're described as being a democracy. However, we're actually a constitutional republic, and there's really some great wisdom that our founders had in putting together our system of government. Tell us about the system of government. How do these things contrast one another, a democracy versus a constitutional republic?
It's a good time to be doing this, Jim, because the Democrats more and more keep talking about threats to our democracy, and we have to do this or that to save our democracy. And, of course, as you say, we're not a democracy. We're a self-governing republic with shared powers. It's a federal system where power is shared between the states and the federal government, and within the federal government, between three branches, judicial, executive, and congressional. It's an ingenious system for sharing power so that no small group of people or person becomes tyrannical. Unfortunately, it looks like in the name of democracy, they're trying to do in our republic. They want to replace it. The Democrats are talking about getting rid of the two senators per state scheme. They want to make it just like congressional districts so that there's really no distinction between the states and just individual congressional districts. Mm-hmm. They want to pack the Supreme Court with four more justices. They want to get rid of the Electoral College, on and on. And they keep talking about democracy.
Yeah.
It's stunning that the hypocrisy here.
So really what our founders had put in place is a system of checks and balances, correct?
Yeah. The whole idea is that each branch is responsible for its own powers under the Constitution. It's not supposed to usurp powers that are given to the other branches. And yet this has happened more and more. In fact, the executive branch has grown by leaps and bounds because of all these executive agencies, mm-hmm. like HHS and, I mean, HUD and you name it. The founders didn't envision the executive branch becoming so enormous with so many unelected bureaucrats making rules. One thing, if conservatives ever really do get in power again, and I hope they do, it should be to curb the bureaucratic power of the federal agencies to make up their own rules.
And indeed, that's something, the rulemaking authority is what has just moved this country, you know, like a pendulum back and forth in this regard. And whereas we saw former President Trump, who would lighten up and cut these rules, we're just right back into the rulemaking authority under President Biden right now.
Yeah, even more so.
Yeah.
I mean, they're intent on spending these trillions. They're funding for more government power, more agencies, more money to groups that the tend to support their politics. It's stunning to watch, and I think they're hurrying up because I think Americans are onto their game now. They don't like hundreds of thousands of people pouring over our border in a lawless way.
Right.
They don't like inflation tearing apart our savings and gasoline doubling in price. I mean, it's a disaster. Everywhere you look, from Afghanistan to our border to the grocery store. And Democrats know this, so I think they're hurrying, rushing, hoping to pass an overhaul of our election system. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are dead set on this John Lewis Voting Act bill. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to restore the part of the Voting Rights Act that the Supreme Court struck down a few years ago as being obsolete because it picked on states that once had racial segregation. But that hasn't been the case for years, so there's no reason for the federal government to lord it over these individual states. There's no evidence that minorities are unable to vote, for instance. And yet they not only want to reverse that good Supreme Court decision, which left plenty of power for the federal government to go after election irregularities, they want to get rid of states administering elections, which the Constitution gave them. That means getting rid of voter ID laws.
Right.
Expanding mail-in voting, having automatic registration, all the things that make vote fraud a lot easier.
Well, this has been a whole track record of this building up over a number of years. And I'm just harking back a decade ago when Governor Scott Walker here in our state signed into law something known as Act 10. It had passed both bodies, the Assembly and the Senate here in the state of Wisconsin. He signed it into law, but it had several impacts, one of which was to bring public workers into paying a portion of their health care cost, and they had to pay a portion of their pension benefits. Brought into check the power of politically left organizations. But this brought day after day of mobs, really, of people to the Capitol. And there was a comment made by a professor at that time, Eric Olin Wright, who was at the Capitol. I'm going to play this clip and get your comment here. This is we're going back to the year, I believe this was 2011, in which this took place.
What's really striking about this moment is the extent to which ordinary workers and students are combined in a struggle. The slogan that captures best what's going on, the mantra that gets repeated, is the call and response, tell us what democracy looks like, this is what democracy looks like. And the idea that democracy isn't just periodic elections, and after that the game is over, but democracy is real dialogue and participation. That's something which people are learning through the process of these protests. It's not that they had clear ideas about that prior to being involved. I think the experience of this particular struggle is an experience of deepening democracy.
And Bob, he had to raise his voice because of the loud democracy that was in his background there.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it just sort of an ongoing riot that shut down business as usual in the Capitol for days?
Yes, it did.
Unlike the Capitol Hill riot on January 6th, that was cleared up within a couple hours, mm-hmm. and the Congress got back to its work of validating the presidential election. And yet, to this day, Jim, you see the Democrats and other people on the left saying it was an insurrection. Mm-hmm. They've dropped the word armed, by the way, lately. They put forth that lie for a long time, saying it was an armed insurrection against our democracy. There wasn't any arms. No guns were brought into the Capitol. You don't try to overthrow a government with no arms at all.
Yeah.
It's just they were trying to delay certification so some of the serious claims of vote fraud could be examined. That's all that was about. It wasn't about overthrowing the government.
And, you know, I think about this matter of the open borders that we have going on right now in the U.S., Bob. We have hundreds of thousands that are illegally crossing our borders here, but the media is so much more obsessed about talking about January 6th at the Capitol that the hundreds of thousands that are pouring over our border, it mums the word.
Yeah, and the Media Research Center, a place I used to work, has released a study showing that the major networks are giving zero coverage to the border. Now, that's a huge crisis on our border. It's unprecedented. Mm-hmm. And they're not even giving it tiny coverage. They're ignoring it entirely. To me, that's malfeasance,
yeah.
Journalistic malfeasance.
Lord willing, tomorrow on the program, Mark Krikorian will be with us from Center for Immigration Studies to really open our eyes to what's going on at the borders. And, folks, there is much to talk about there. Just harking back as well to the situation in Madison, I just want to play one other small clip from a participant who spoke really, very approvingly of the Socialist Party working together with the Democrats. Here's what he had to say.
Being involved in a couple of student organizations, I can tell you that there is the biggest alliance of student orgs I have seen, ever, or I've heard of at UW-Madison. This is the only time I've ever seen the International Socialist Organization work with the College Democrats, for instance. And it's been very heartwarming.
And, Bob, this is what democracy looks like.
Yeah, right. They've been working with them for years prior to that, but then now it was right out in the open. It's gotten even more so. And Trevor Loudon, who is a journalist from New Zealand, who I know personally, has done many studies of the socialist organizations, both in the United States and internationally, that are interfering in our elections. He said the Chinese communists at the university in Wuhan, of all places, did work in Virginia that helped turn the Virginia legislature a couple of years ago over to the Democrats. They provided free exhaustive research on election districts. And, of course, the mainstream media here couldn't care less if a communist government interfered like that because it went their way. Mm-hmm. They elected Democrats. They took over. They immediately poured through a very left-wing agenda. I don't even know where to start with that. It's so bad. It's like Virginia has become California.
Yeah, yeah.
It was turned around this last election, this last November. People had their fill of it. And, if you can keep the vote fraud down and people get a chance to vote, more often than not, they're going to go conservative. They don't want more government. They don't want more things pushed down their throat that disagrees with their most fundamental values.
Bob Knight with us here today talking about the dark side of democracy, and we remember that mantra, what does democracy look like? This is what democracy looks like. I'm going to just speed it up here a dozen year or 10 years or so to the year 2020, and this location now is Portland, Oregon, but it was repeated in cities across this nation. And what's interesting is we hear these people shouting, Bob, this is what democracy looks like. You see this massive group of people wearing helmets, goggles, carrying BLM signs, and other places you'll see the clenched fist. But here's just a brief clip from that.
This is what democracy looks like.
And it continues on from there. But again, the clench the fists, it's the helmets, the face shields, it's the signage. And this is what they're trying to turn America into.
Well, yeah, in Portland, Oregon, they besieged the federal building in downtown Portland. And the mayor there, who's a hard leftist, Ted Wheeler, didn't do anything about it. I mean, he would have told you, well, that's what democracy looks like, attacking federal agents, following them home from work. They knocked an older woman in a wheelchair over. They beat up journalists that didn't agree with them. This is communist-style mob violence.
Yeah, and we're going to pick up with that right after the break. A mobocracy, folks. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast did the animals migrate away from Ararat after Noah's flood?
Chris, the Bible tells us that after the flood, God commanded the animals to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And that they did, migrating to fill the earth. There are some modern-day examples of rapid animal spreadings, several coming from the island continent of Australia, which until recently had no mammals. Now, rabbits are nearly epidemic. Another example would be a particular kind of toad that was introduced in Australia back in the 1930s and then just 10 years later was observed over 1,000 miles away. Surely the biblical concept of migration to fill the earth is not only possible but quite plausible. Besides that, it's true because we're told about it. back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
The Dark Side of Democracy, our discussion today with Robert Knight. Matter of fact, he just wrote a column on this very topic. Bob, The Dark Side of Democracy, you just released it, and you just hit the nail on the head with this one.
Yeah, you know, I have to read the Washington Post every morning, Jim, which is a, you know, a labor of love for other people who don't have to read it, so I do it for them. It's hard to read it because it went from being a liberal paper under Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon, to being a hard left newspaper that doesn't even pretend to try to be objective anymore. And they're constantly whining about democracy. Seems like every other editorial is about preserving our democracy. And the editorial this morning, I believe, was about we have to pass this election bill that would massively overturn the state's ability to keep elections safely from fraud. It would be a federal takeover of elections. Mm-hmm. And that's not democracy. That's mob rule. That's centralizing power in Washington, D.C., and not being a federal system anymore.
Well, and as we're going into the break, you hear the chants coming from the people, and you see them shoulder and shoulder, thousands and thousands of the individuals, and again with face shields and helmets and carrying signs. I mean, in essence, in riot gear in many cases, this is what democracy looks like. I think it would be more appropriate to say this is what mobocracy looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at what happened by contrast, you know, there were a few hotheads on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. They did some stupid things. I have talked to some people who strolled over there from the big Trump rally, which was nonviolent, and they said many people just felt like they were able to just walk in. You know, the barriers were down. It's their capital, U.S. Capitol. They thought they could just come in. They stayed within the roped areas in the rotunda. They didn't, you know, wreak havoc and smash things and all that. There were just a handful of people who did that. And yet, look what happened to all those cities, more than 200 of them over the course of 2020. More than 40 people were killed. Hundreds of police officers were wounded. More than $2 billion in damage occurred. Whole districts were burned. I mean, it's just, and yet you never hear anything about those riots anymore.
No, and it's catch and release. And, I mean, it was Kamala Harris who, you know, helped raise money to free these people. Meanwhile, look what's happening. I mean, I understand, and I've read some of the very inhumane treatment of those that are, you know, deemed to be the January 6th prisoners.
Yeah, a lot of them are still in D.C. jail, and they have been complaining of inhumane conditions. You know, there were a lot of people who don't particularly like conservatives, and they say the guards aren't protecting them. I mean, it's like a third world system. This thing occurred on January 6th, months and months ago, almost a year ago, and there they are, still languishing, most of them on very small charges, you know, like trespassing and I guess disrupting an election, that sort of thing. Now, that's no small charge if you think about it.
Yeah.
But as far as not being able to defend themselves in court and getting a hearing, there's no excuse for that.
Robert Knight with us here today in Crosstalk. And folks, as we mentioned, he just wrote this column entitled The Dark Side of Democracy. And you talk about how you do all of us a favor, Bob, by reading the very most extreme liberal papers. And then you comment and you give another perspective, certainly, on things. You make it available for our Crosstalk listeners and others to be recipients of your columns. How can they receive these?
Well, they could do it either two ways. One, they can go to my website, Robert H. That's H is my middle initial, roberthknight.com. It's pretty easy. And the other is to just send me an email directly. I don't mind you having my personal email address. It's robertknight4, that's the numeral 4, at gmail.com. That's robertknight4 at gmail.com. And I got to say, Jim, in the past, when I've done your program, I've had dozens of people just email me and just say, sign me up. That's all they have to say, sign up.
Oh.
in the subject line. And I add them to my email list, and they get the column every Monday morning at no charge.
Wow. Well, again, folks, if you'd like to receive it, and it's a perspective you're not going to get from your weekly newspaper or the nightly news that's on one of the liberal networks, but you'll get another perspective on things, and Bob shoots straight. You can simply send him an email. Here's the email address, Robert Knight, and Knight is spelled with a K, Robert Knight, the number 4, at gmail.com, and just put sign me up in the subject line, and he'll be able to do that. Robert Knight 4, the number 4, at gmail.com. Or you can sign up through his website, roberthknight.com. That's the website, roberthknight.com. While you're there, you'll see in his store some of the books he's written, like The Coming Communist Wave or Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote. You'll find other resources there as well. Here's another one, A Nation Worth Fighting For. That's available on his website. Several of the, I mean, that one is 80% off right now. Normally $15, he's got it down to $3. You'll find that in other books on his website there as well. Bob, I came across, just in preparing for the program today, something I was not aware of. There's a group called the Wisconsin Wave that has called the 2020s here the decisive decade and have prepared a declaration of the 2020s. And I'd like to share, it's about five paragraphs. It says, this is the decisive decade. None of us can afford to wait for others to act. By 2030, we will be on our way to a global economy that provides a good life for all on a living planet, or we'll be on an irreversible path to global misery through ecological collapse. After a generation of warnings amid mounting harms, continue to rely on the powerful few to save us is an unacceptable mistake. The great majority are diverse and global, multiracial working class, employed and unemployed, people of color and white, urban and rural, north and south, young and retired, indigenous people and those on the front lines must decide together. If we don't, global climate systems and global capitalism will decide for us. We can win real democracy and change how we relate to each other and the world around us by immediately shifting to a stable and democratic energy grid, one providing 100% clean, renewable power. We can tread lightly on our planet by employing sustainable green technologies and practices in the process, and through our solidarity and unions, we will achieve full employment, meaningful incomes, high-quality services, and dignified lives for all. With this economic conversion will come the huge gains needed to protect workers and communities in a just transition, to end personal and colonial debt, and to heal our most injured communities. Two more paragraphs. We can win real democracy and decide together to free ourselves from the endless and illegal wars that drive millions to flee our homes. We can replace the policing of people with a global system of collective security and world citizenship. We can make corporations and government institutions democratically accountable to workers, communities, and our common society. We have the power to decide. At work, we have the economic power. If we withhold it, in our numbers, we have the social power. If we mobilize it, in our traditions, minds, and hearts, we have the cultural power. If we unleash it, because these 10 years belong to the future, to children, and to the next generation, we pledge to hold nothing back. And then there's a listing of their initial signatories. There's the Warehouse Workers for Justice, Code Pink, Seattle Democratic Socialists of America, Twin Ports Democratic Socialists of America, Alliance for Democracy, Family Farm Defenders, Global Climate Convergence, many others there as well. Your response, Bob.
Well, Jim, I think you left out the part about every household will get its own unicorn.
Yeah, yes.
That's probably in another paragraph. But no, these people are communists, okay? They're marching under different banners, but you see what their aim is.
Yeah, this is what democracy looks like to them.
Collectivism. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's top-down collectivism. And they use the climate for an excuse. I'm surprised they didn't throw the COVID pandemic in there, because that's how some of our ruling elites are operating right now, scaring everybody to death, even though the Omicron variant may well get us out of this pandemic and get us into a typical flu season type situation. But boy, you never know it from the media. It's pure fear and panic. Yeah. But all those things they proposed, you know, no matter what we do here, they mean nothing to communist China. which is the biggest polluter in the world. And they're not pulling back at all. They're expanding, they're building coal plants, et cetera, et cetera. All we will do is destroy our own energy independence, which the Biden administration is on the path to do. In fact, they already have. We've had to ask the Saudis to pump more oil, thanks to Joe Biden. And if you wonder why the price of gas is double and climbing, well, it's the Biden administration putting a dagger in the back of America's independent energy industry, all in the name of climate. But it's not really about climate. It's about power. The whole climate facade is about power. The whole pandemic overreaction is about power. If you noticed, a lot of these little fascist dictators in cities don't want to give up their lockdown power. They like to force people to wear masks and show vaccine passports, and you know they're flexing. They've never had power like this before. And if you say, hey, how about following the science? How about showing people how they can, you know, secure decent treatments for COVID and who's really at risk and so forth? They don't want to hear it.
Right.
They just want to scare everybody into compliance.
And they want to stop those views from getting out there too. I mean, to block social media or to vilify anybody who would say anything opposite or in opposition to the NIH or to Dr. Fauci.
Oh, definitely. In fact, I just read this morning of a guy with an armload of medical degrees and everything else who was blogging. Actually, he was on Twitter, and he was putting up tweets about the availability of ivermectin and how it is utterly harmless. And there was this myth created that it was somehow dangerous, and it was a false study, and it's been debunked, and yet the media won't follow up and
right.
tell us that. And so he's been banned from Twitter.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't want to follow the science. They want to follow the route toward centralized power.
You know,
every American ought to be aware of that.
There's another aspect to all this, too, and you write about this in your letter, about the warning about constitutional sheriffs. But at the same time, Bob, they're backing the socialist type district attorneys who favor emptying our prisons or reducing bail. I mean, that's what Milwaukee DA did. You know, we have this reduction of bail and the man's out who runs his vehicle through the Waukesha parade. But reducing bail and other moves that, you know, not enforcing drug laws create the system of chaos. So that while they're warning against constitutional sheriffs, they're trying to back behind these liberal district attorneys, socialistic type district attorneys.
Yeah, a couple of the worst are Philadelphia's Larry Krasner, who's an outright socialist, and Chicago's Kim Fox. Both of them were elected with help from George Soros, the far-left billionaire, who must hate America because he funds every group trying to tear the country down. And these guys have basically said, we're not enforcing the law anymore. And in San Francisco, they've actually, in California, they actually approved a law saying that they're not going to prosecute shoplifting of anything under $900. So that's led to all these mass shopliftings,
which are really smash
and grab attacks on stores.
Yep, smash and grab is what's going on.
Yeah, and people are not, they're not missing this. You know, the media will not cover it. They'll show it quickly and move on. They really didn't go into the motives of the Waukesha motorist and how much he hated white people and had BLM stuff on his website or his Facebook posts. And they only look at motive if it matches their narrative. So, you know, you can't trust the media at all.
Robert Knight with us here today on Crosstalk. If you want to start getting on board with your calls here today, our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. The Dark Side of Democracy. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Increasingly, we are hearing a rallying cry for socialism in our society. Free health care, free education, free food, free everything. Some are fanning the flames by encouraging mobs to change our government, our constitution, and our way of life. Do we really want to go the way of Russia? Of communist China? Cuba? Venezuela? Is socialism a wonderful utopia? Or is it a totalitarian nightmare? Will everything be free, or will deep state bureaucrats decide who gets what? These are critical issues presented in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. Author Bill Federer tracks the origins of socialism and reveals how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. The book, Socialism, is available from VCY for your donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Robert Knight is our guest here today on Crosstalk, the dark side of democracy, our topic. By the way, if you missed writing down the information where you can get his free e-newsletter, his email sent out each week to stay abreast of these issues, you can just drop him an email, Robert Knight, Knight is spelled with a K, Robert Knight, the number 4, at gmail.com. Robert Knight 4 at gmail.com. In the subject line, just put in sign me up, and he'll know what to do from there. Or his website, roberthknight.com. Taking your calls here today on Crosstalk, that's 800-733-9829. Bob, just before we get to the phone lines, James Madison warned of democracies in Federalist 10. What was his warning?
His warning was that they, in pursuing perfect equality in political rights, I'll quote him, they were reducing mankind to being perfectly equalized and assimilated in their possessions, opinions, and their passions. He was saying this is a pipe dream and it's dangerous. Hmm. My comment is that sounds like they want everybody to be a communist, everybody with the same opinion, the same amount of property. Regardless of how hard you work, the same amount of political power, regardless of how hard you work. Madison saw all this as a possibility. He saw power abused in Europe, you know, with kings and so forth. Mm-hmm. He wanted to spare us that agony here. And if you talk to people who are screaming the loudest about democracy, they're not even aware of what Madison said in Federalist 10, warning about the democracies are, quote, spectacles of turbulence and contention. Wow. They've been, in general, short in their lives and violent in their deaths. That's what he was trying to spare America from.
Folks, we better learn. Let's go to our calls here today. Again, our number is 800-733-9829. Lynn in Des Moines, Iowa, you're on the air.
Yes, Dr. Knight, I couldn't agree more with your assessment of the systems of government. I think one of the political philosophers at one time said democracy at its best is two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for lunch. Hmm. And so you can see that at its best, it's not anything to be desirable. But I don't quite see the American electorate the same way that you do. You mentioned that they were conservatives if the voting was on the level and everything. But it seems to me that our nation is in a spiritual decline. We have rejected God and his principles, and as we have done that, big government, has stepped into the vacuum, and people are now looking to government rather than God. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of our problem.
Yeah.
Well, I don't disagree with any of that, Lynn. That is at heart our biggest problem is the drift away from God and God's moral principles. But you know, I'm a little more optimistic than you might be. I see a possible revival underway. I see pastors waking up and saying, you know what, I can no longer pretend this stuff isn't happening outside our church door. Politics is part of the world. Jesus is Lord over all, not just select areas. He created all things. And I see pastors waking up, and more of them are informing their flocks that they've got to get involved. This is a self-governing nation, and if we don't want to lose our religious liberty and as well as our other liberties, people have to take it seriously. Why would you just let atheists who don't believe in God rule us? Mm. Well, you know, that's not a formula for success.
That's great. I hope you're right.
Great. Thank you, Lynn.
Yeah, pray for revival. That's the only that is the only thing that's going to turn this around. Yeah. A real revival.
Right.
People
yeah.
really understanding who Jesus is. Mm.
God bless you, Lynn. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. John is calling from South Milwaukee. You're on the air, John.
Good afternoon. This country is dumbed down. People, I am convinced, have lower IQs. When you go to a place and you can't even ask the person for change without them going on a calculator, it's unbelievable. For the past 2 years, students have not even been getting educated in schools because it's all been homework or at home or on a TV or Zoom call. You can't give anybody a D or an F anymore, God forbid. That would be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what's missing, and it's noticeable, at least in my mind, God is being wiped off. You don't even hear the word Christmas until the after Christmas sales. Family, it's being, quote, redefined. If you hang out an American flag at your house, you are a zealot. You are a deplorable, as we were told years ago. The corporations and the social media, of which I'm not a part, are in on this. And this is really, really a slap in the face to anybody with a brain. And I thank you. And goodbye, and thank you, and I'll listen for your comments on the radio. Thank you.
Thank you, John. A lot of great points here, Bob.
Well, he's right about education. In fact, Governor Brown of Oregon has signed a directive that people can graduate from high school without showing proficiency in English or math anymore. I mean, How is that going to do anybody any good? She said, well, I'm doing this on behalf of minorities because their graduation rates aren't as high. So therefore, we're going to graduate everybody, whether they know anything or not. That's racism, pure and simple. It's the bigotry of lowered expectations. What happens to those kids when they get to college and they don't know anything? Well, they don't make it in college. It's a lot worse than that. I mean, if you look at the educational system, it's been taken over by the left-wing teachers' unions, which are solidly socialist, and they've been bringing in materials like Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about that, Jim, on this program.
Mm-hmm.
It's a communist critique of America. It distorts everything from Christopher Columbus to our founding. You name it. And kids are being spoon-fed this stuff to hate their country and only look at our weaknesses, only look at our warts, and none of our accomplishments. That's got to change. And, you know, I'm a little more optimistic because I live in Virginia, and we saw a sea change in the election.
Yeah.
This is allegedly a blue state. It's more Democrat than Republican because Northern Virginia is right outside D.C., so it's heavily pro-government. And yet, we elected a Republican governor. We flipped the House of the lower house in the legislature, and I think we're going to flip some congressional seats in 2022. People are fed up; they're tired of what amounts to communism being forced down their throats. And it really started in the schools. You know, in Loudoun County, Virginia, where the boy assaulted a girl in the bathroom, actually raped her, and then they didn't tell anybody. And they transferred him to another school where he sexually assaulted another girl. People had it. We've got recall elections going on in Loudoun County. One board member's already been removed. But the thing that really got under people's skin was when a Christian teacher was suspended for speaking to the school board and saying, look, I'm not going to lie to my pupils and say a girl is a boy and vice versa.
Yep.
I can't do that. I'm a Christian. I'm going to tell the kids the truth.
Yep.
So they, you know, they in fact fire them. People didn't like that.
Right.
And they also arrested the father of the first girl who was raped. He came to a school board meeting. They wouldn't listen to him. They shut him down. So he was understandably upset. So he got knocked to the ground and led off in handcuffs. That doesn't play well among parents.
Yeah.
Virginia's got a parents' rebellion going, and I'm hoping it'll spread all over America. People are getting a good look from the pandemic at how corrupt the schools are. Homeschooling has doubled. It's up to 11% now. Christian schools are coming back. There are some good signs that people are waking up.
Let's go to Lodi, Wisconsin. Charlie, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I really believe, as your guest is saying, we're being conditioned, and I don't see this as much different from the Jews having to wear a yellow star on their armband. It certainly could lead to that, and we do have to reach our children. I was involved in Awanas in local evangelical churches, and it made me sick with the silly games that they play. Very little scripture, very little Bible knowledge, but a lot of foolishness.
Well, thank you for raising the point here, Charlie, and we're going to comment on what you're talking about, you know, making, you know, the marking of Jewish individuals. And Bob, we're kind of seeing that play out again with this whole aspect of COVID. I mean, show me the passport. You cannot come into this restaurant. You cannot come into this entertainment venue. You cannot do this. You cannot do that. And now we have Fauci even talking about how he makes justification for a COVID shot to be required for one to fly, to have a COVID vaccination certificate to fly domestically here in the U.S. as well.
Yeah, even though several airlines have removed the mask mandate aboard airliners because they realize it doesn't do any good. By the way, they recirculate the air 30 times an hour. It's probably the cleanest air you're going to breathe.
Yeah.
And so I think, why are people stuck in masks for our flights? Nobody's going to want to fly. This is tyrannical. In New York City, there's Bill de Blasio, the communist mayor, and I call him that. He's hardcore Marxist, telling parents that even five-year-olds have to show proof of vaccination to enter into buildings, restaurants, playgrounds,
to get their
anything like that.
To get their Happy Meal, they got to have their vaccination certificate.
Yeah, even though kids aren't remotely vulnerable to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you look at there have been dozens and dozens of millions of cases of COVID among children. And very few deaths, under 1,000 for the whole nation, even though there have been, I don't know what it's up to now, 35 million cases. It's microscopic. And yet they're going to force these kids to have shots? This is tyranny, and it's a great way to separate people. And I am concerned about what they're doing to our military, where they're requiring everybody to get the shots in the military.
Yeah.
And if they hesitate, they get thrown out. That's a great way to identify people who tend to be pro-American conservatives, who do their homework, who find alternative sources of information, and who follow the science instead of just, you know, mindlessly going along with what Fauci and the government elitists tell us to do.
And folks, be praying for the Supreme Court as a year. Next week, Friday, they're going to be hearing some of these mandate cases. Lord willing, on Monday, Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel will be on this program addressing this very issue and what's at stake. Very important issues. One other thing Charlie brought out is the whole matter of our children. And certainly the left knows how to indoctrinate children. And Bob, we've got to be very aggressive in teaching and instilling our children biblical truth, biblical values, as well as that which is, you know, the very framework for our country, a warning against socialism that they're being promoted in the schools, warning against immorality that they're being promoted in the school system as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, and critical race theory.
Yes.
I mean, you know, that's just racist stuff. It's derived from critical theory of Marxism, where you criticize every institution in society, you tear them down so you can build on the ashes a new socialist society. But all it does is pit children against each other based on race in the name of fighting racism. It's one of the most evil programs ever invented, and you see it all over America. No wonder parents are rising up and saying enough is enough.
Robert Knight, our guest here today, his website, roberthknight.com. Caller, stay on the line with us. We'll take more calls right after the break in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Well, let me say Merry Christmas. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, cosmos, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." The great story of Christmas is the incarnation of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. He who knew no sin became as if he had sinned. Well, he didn't have any sin. He was perfect and sinless. That's why he's our Savior. And his righteous life was credited or imputed to our account through faith and repentance. You see, salvation is available to all, but it's only applicable to those through faith and repentance. Use this Christmas season to proclaim the reason for Christ's birth, that there might be restitution of our relationship with our Holy Father through faith and repentance. Available to all, but only applicable to those who surrender their life to Christ through faith and repentance.
Just a reminder to get Robert Knight's newsletter. All you have to do, it's free of charge. Just send him an email, robertknight4@gmail.com. That's robertknight4@gmail.com. We're going right back to the phone lines. Holding the longest is Mason in Mauston, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, God bless you all, and thank you for your program. I just wanted to say, I disagree. I think the world is in the throes of coming to an end as we know it. 70 million babies have been aborted in America since Roe versus Wade in 73. We have homosexuals that now can get married, lesbians that can get married, adopt children. We have our military colonels, generals were thrown out that were conservative in the Obama era, and now we all have our lapdog generals that follow the leftist way. We turn around and we look into our schools, and we have teachers that let children of 5, 6, 7 years old know what their political views are. I never knew what any teacher when I was growing up what their political views were. We have people now that are being hounded by the FBI and places like this.
Yeah.
From the top down, the FBI is as crooked as you can get.
You know,
I work for the state of Wisconsin.
Tell you what, Mason, and for sake of time, and I would say, you know, we agree with all these things, and I agree with all this list that you've given here. I'm going to say just two words, and to echo what Bob said earlier, and that's the words, but God. And if, you know, we see how wicked, and Bob will have you comment here, but how wicked Nineveh was. I mean, they were slaughtering babies. They were, the sacrifice that they were doing, the horrendous killings that were going on in Nineveh, and God sent Jonah there, hey, 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. But the king repented, and the people repented, and God spared Nineveh. God can do it again, and that's what I hear you saying here, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. God can redeem a nation. He certainly can redeem human souls. That's what Christianity is all about, inviting Jesus in and regenerating our minds, souls, and everything about us.
Yeah.
And so that's why we shouldn't lose heart. And I do see good things happening. I'm not a Pollyanna. You know that, Jim.
Right.
I share a lot of bad news. And this gentleman probably could have gone on for another 10 minutes about all the things wrong.
Right.
And I probably would have agreed with it all.
Yep.
But I'm more interested in what people are doing in response. And that is they're seeking deeper spiritual knowledge. They realize we're in a fight against evil. It isn't just political. It isn't just some disagreements. We need God's help in this. I see people like Pastor Gary Hamrick of Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia, reaching out nationally and encouraging other pastors to get involved. He wasn't political at all a few years ago. Now he realizes pastors have to incorporate that as part of their message.
Mason,
we're going to save this country.
So I agree with you, Mason, but we're just praying for a revival to come and for people's hearts to change.
I agree. I haven't given up hope. I'm just saying that
Good.
These things are here, and we need to pray, and we need to ask God. You know, if we turn our face back towards God, he can heal the
Amen.
Land. I agree.
Amen. Thank you, Mason. Cy is calling from Sarasota, Florida. You're on the air.
I haven't heard this touchdown yet. The government should be small enough so it serves the people, and not so big that the people fear the government.
Yes.
That is all I have to say. Have a good day. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. And to Des Moines, we lost our caller from Des Moines. Thank you. Good point there.
Okay.
Let's go to Annie in Coshocton, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yes. I feel sorry for these children whose parents think they're too young to learn about Jesus, who want them to wait till they grow up and let them choose their own religion. That is a shame.
Yeah.
They're saying that because they're selfish and have sinful practices that they don't want to give up.
Yeah. Thank you, Annie. Bob, great comments here.
Well, yeah, they are, and I, you know, I just a lot of parents really are of a mindset that their needs come first, and the kids are resilient; they'll be okay. That's not the case, mm-hmm. and it shows a little later in life when they go off track, they get into drugs and early sex, and their lives are turned over. So I would encourage all the parents out there, if you have kids in public school, I would seek alternatives, get them out. If you can homeschool, do it. Get them into a Christian school if you can do it. If they have to stay in the public school for whatever reason, you got to keep track of what they're doing in the public schools. As I mentioned, those parents in Loudoun County, Virginia have turned over the tables, the money changers here. They are in open revolt against the school authorities. They never thought it could happen, but they're running scared now because there's a parents' revolt going away. That has to happen all over the country.
We're going to squeeze in one last call. Bowden from Maricopa, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call, and I wanted to say that something that I've been involved with is school choice. I started about 30 years ago. I started that in California as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. And if people are listening, want to get involved and do something, I think we have to take back control of our schools. It's our money. We called it a scholarship in California, Parents for Educational Choice, Prop 174. The school union called it a voucher and beat us down. And Arizona, I'm finding out that they do have a voucher program. I don't know a lot about it. I just moved here.
Okay, I'm sorry, just again, for sake of time, we're down to a minute left. I want Bob to comment here. Thank you, Bowden, for the call. He's bringing up this issue of school choice, Bob.
Yeah, the left-wing teachers unions that run education in this country hate school choice. They pour millions of dollars into campaigns to defeat it at the polls, but parents shouldn't give up. In fact, it can be done in every school district. You don't have to wait for things at the federal government level or even the state level. People have to get a hold of their own communities and make change there. I would encourage people to volunteer to be poll workers. You get paid for it, and you can keep an eye on things during elections. Run for school board. It starts at the bottom and works its way up. If we wait for the powers that be at the top to save us, forget it. People, this is a self-governing republic. We ought to start acting like it.
And as the caller earlier said, too, we've got to get down to the small units of government. Government's much bigger than was ever intended.
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, the liberals think the Constitution is not a check on government, but a blank check. Hmm. That's not how the founders saw it.
Yeah. Robert Knight, our guest here today, and Bob, stay on the line, but thank you so much for being with us here today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Jim. It's a very quick time on your show.
Folks, again, if you'd like to get Bob's newsletter every beginning of each week, all you need to do is send an email. Say, sign me up. I'll put that in the subject line. Send your email to robertknight4@gmail.com. robertknight4@gmail.com. His website is roberthknight.com. Our time is gone. Folks, certainly much is involved here in this spiritual battle. Let's keep our nation in prayer. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.